My first and only guest today is an old friend of mine. Came on the radio show with me in Spain many years ago. Came across him when he made a brilliant contribution to a BBC television documentary about the 7th of July shootings. He's a former BBC journalist, so he is. He presents the politics show weekly for BCFM, and he's done meticulous research on the Bilderberg Group, and he's very well known internationally for investigating the Bilderberg Group, bringing information and news about each year's Bilderberg meeting and the general history of the organisation. We will, of course, tweet out links to the politics show on BCFM. It's always great to welcome Tony Gosling to the programme. As I said, been speaking with me for some years now. Tony, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, Richie. Very well.
Thanks very much. Well, I've had a good old say, Tone, in the first hour about what happened yesterday in Vegas, so I'm just going to shut up, mate, and turn it over to you, because I have had a good old say. What have you made of it, Tony?
All I'll say is, I mean, I can just run through my immediate take on all this.
Please, mate, go ahead.
Very, very, okay. First of all, what's my, you know, why should anyone listen to me? Why, you know, am I saying... maybe, you know, being shut out of the mainstream press, etc. But look, I was working on IRA terrorist attacks for the BBC at Greater London Radio, Marylebone High Street, 1989, 1990, 1991, around that time, when the troubles were still going on. We were getting bomb attacks in London, etc. So, I mean, this kind of terrorism that we're getting these days is nothing like the proper reporting that used to go on those days. And in a way, you could sort of title this from IRA to ISIS, the changing face of terror, because what we're seeing now is no questioning of the official account. Now, we used to do this all the time. We'd be questioning the police. We'd be questioning, you know, getting eyewitness statements. And by the way, not censoring them. If someone says there's multiple shooters or whatever, you know, we would put those out on the airwaves. So I've seen the reporting of terrorism fantastically deteriorate over the years. I mean, you mentioned 7/7 briefly there, and when I was on that program, I made it absolutely clear to them I didn't think there was any evidence to put the four alleged bombers from 7/7 of the London Underground and the number 30 bus actually on the bus or on the tube, because there was no CCTV footage that showed them actually getting onto those tube trains, even getting onto the platforms to get onto the tube trains or on the bus, even though, as we know, and at the time, John Snow from Channel 4 News pointed out on his programme, there's CCTV cameras everywhere. So where is the evidence that puts these people actually on these trains? So, you know, I think that we need to interrogate, particularly when the suspects are dead, as in this case in Las Vegas today, what's been going on. And I think maybe question number one, Richie, has got to be, is it terrorism? We've seen ISIS claiming it today. That is the AMAC news agency claiming this attack as their terrorist attack, someone who has converted to Islam a few months ago. Now, I think if you believe that, you believe anything. And also so it's not only the AMAC agency that's claimed this, it's also Rita Katz from the Site Intelligence Service. Now, these two agencies are responsible for all of the claims of ISIS over the last few years. So including many of the actual ISIS videos, these two sources, AMAC News Agency and Rita Katz. So I'd say, number one, we need to be questioning all of the reports we've ever heard from the AMAC News Agency, as indeed ISIS themselves did a couple of years ago, said that a lot of stuff coming out of here has got nothing to do with us. So this is a completely discredited source if they're now saying that this guy was doing this for ISIS and it was a terror, because it's quite clear that there was no real the guy wasn't a Muslim, it doesn't seem, and that this seems to be completely fictional. So this casts doubt upon all of the attacks that have been claimed, both through Rita Katz, who's saying it's a legitimate source, it's a primary source, a legitimate claim, etc. So the question of whether it's terrorism seems to just be whether, what is the colour of the skin of the person that's done it? The darker it is, the more likely it's terrorism. The whiter it is, the less likely it's terrorism. As we saw, for example, the reluctance to class the killing of Joe Cox a couple of years ago, the Dewsbury MP, up in Yorkshire as a terrorist attack. There was a great reluctance to do that. And it just seems to me that only dark-skinned people can be terrorists. And this one, as soon as they found out that he's actually white, they say, oh, it's probably not a terrorist attack. In fact, Donald Trump said it was an act of pure evil. He didn't say it was an act of terrorism, an act of pure evil. So this, I think, has got to be question number one. The terminology that our so-called journalists and our so-called leaders are using to describe. And I wonder what your take is on that as well, Richie.
Brilliant, Tony. I mentioned this briefly at the beginning of the programme. You know, this idea it's not terrorism. And didn't Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle Obama, use very strange, benign language about it? They said it's a senseless tragedy. Tony, if somebody opens up from a 30-second window, injures hundreds of people and kills scores of people, by the very nature of the fact, if that's what you're telling us happened, it is an act of terror or an act of terrorism. You're absolutely right.
It's not a tragedy.
No, it's not a tragedy, no.
You know, and in fact, it's similar to the Grenfell Tower in a way, in that this is an act of willful neglect. That is not a tragedy. That you go down to Ladbroke Grove, go down to Portobello, around that part of London, and they're not talking about it as a tragedy. They're talking about it as an atrocity. That is, this has been perpetrated on us. And exactly the same could be said about the scores of people who've been killed over in Las Vegas. But also, we've also had reports of multiple shooters. That's very difficult to verify at this stage. But that should be being reported by the press. What happens is, and this happened, exactly the same thing happened in the 7/7 London bombings too. Immediately it happened, the police are issuing, and MI5 are issuing denials. So the police immediately issued a denial of reports of multiple shooters. But this is clashing with eyewitness accounts. Some eyewitnesses are saying that the gunfire was coming from different areas. So, I mean, that needs to be reported. You don't look.
Of course,
hang on,
does, Tony.
You're not just there to report what the police are telling you. In fact, let me tell journalists out there and anyone listening: if you do just report what the police are telling you as fact, then you are part of a police state. That's actually what a police state means. It means that you don't question the police. You just simply put out their statements as unquestioned fact. Because one of the things we know is that if people survive these sorts of terror incidents or mass shootings or whatever you want to call this, then they can go to trial and then we can have an interrogation of the facts of what the police are saying. It is incredibly dangerous simply to report police statements as fact. And that's happening right across the Western world right now. There's just no interrogation whatsoever of these basic facts, including a very important one, and that is that the question that's not being asked is that this guy, Stephen Paddock's brother, has been interviewed very quickly, and he's saying it's out of character, to quote him. He's basically saying it wasn't him.
Pretty
this
much.
It's not this kind of thing that he would do. So hang on a minute. So have we had any of the quizzing of the police at these press conferences saying, well, his brother says it wasn't him? No, we haven't. We have no questions about the police. Maybe that will come later. God, I hope it will. But let's just have a think about this scenario here. We know it was about 10 or 15 minutes before the police got to this Mandalay Bay hotel last night. And within that time, it's quite possible that the person could have maybe got away. And also, it's quite feasible that the person that they found in that room, dead when they came into the room, had been killed by the people who were doing the killing, and that they then just sort of secreted themselves away, kind of strolled off. A big pile of guns. This guy's not supposed to have any guns. A pile of automatic weapons. And let me just go to my final, main point about all this Las Vegas reporting, the appalling, terrible reporting of it, is the timing. Now, what we've had is yesterday one of the most horrific events in European history. That is to say, the Madrid police storming in to attack and molest voters in the Catalan referendum, the succession. Now, this is a very, very important event, and it's very, very interesting to see who has and who hasn't been supporting the Madrid government and their action by the police. That would have been dominating the news today, the horrific attacks and the tearing up of human rights by the Madrid government, which, by the way, back in 1975 officially was a fascist government. The same party, the People's Party, General Franco, who ruled Spain as a fascist leader up until then. It's the same party that's ruling now. That party, by the way, is embroiled in a scandal, the Gürtel scandal, G-U-R-T-E-L scandal, involving a 22 million euro slush fund in Swiss bank accounts, where all of the main government construction contracts, they were getting kickbacks and putting them in Swiss banks, and they are paying off hundreds of thousands of pounds to all the senior politicians in the party. That trial is going ahead right now, very slowly, because several of the judges have been suspended by the Justice Ministry. So obviously, this is a complete corruption in Spain. They're actually getting rid of the judges who are going to be questioning the Prime Minister about this case. And now we're expected to trust those same courts to say that this is a legal referendum going on in Catalonia. So there's lots and lots to talk about this Catalonian referendum and the appalling abuse, including Donald Tusk, the unelected president of the European Commission, weighing in on the side of King Felipe and Mariano Rajoy, who are the apparently fascist leaders of Spain, who think nothing of sending in police to attack voters. Now, the BBC reported yesterday, and I was absolutely shocked to see this, Richie, although sometimes I think nothing should shock me that the BBC do. They were reporting that the police were clashing with protesters.
Yes, I saw that.
No. The police were not clashing with protesters, BBC. The police were attacking voters. This is not the same language that you should be using. You know, they're not protesters. They're queuing up to vote. And the police are storming in and attacking them with batons and fighting them. You know, so this is appalling language that's been being used in the reporting of it. And, of course, this horrific event over in Las Vegas, what it does is it completely annihilates that story from the news all over the world today. And I think this is one of the things that's been going on over the last few decades, is that the manipulation of mainstream press news day after day. And I mean, I'm not saying I've got any evidence whatsoever. I'm saying it's an interesting time for the shooting in Las Vegas to happen. But it does seem as if much of what we do and see and hear in our politics today is steered by the mainstream press. For example, the Conservative Party conference reacting to the news of Ted Heath, the report by Wiltshire Police, Operation Conifer. Managing to get that delayed.
That's right. That's right.
Until after the Conservative Party conference. A lot of what the Tories do just seems to be a reaction to what's in the Daily Mail and in the Mail on Sunday. So the mainstream press, it seems, is leading the politicians. They're scared of it. What's going to be in the press the next day? Then we've got to try and manage it. And I think we're living in a world now where essentially the mainstream press is more powerful than our politicians, who most of whom are just working to a kind of news agenda and seeing what they can and can't get on the news. So that's the final point, really, I want to make about the shooting in Las Vegas, because, you know, that the timing to me stinks. So what could have happened is this guy could have just been shot in this room by whoever was doing the real shooting, and they could have just wandered off. And we're getting no questions at all about whether that's happened.
Tony, this is really important stuff. I want to point out something. I didn't mention this today. I was saving this for you coming on.
Okay.
You might have seen this. You might not have seen it. You talked about the BBC reporting yesterday claiming that there were clashes, which, as you eloquently said there, was nothing short of disgraceful. It was punishment beatings being handed out by guys in Kevlar and face masks and armed to the teeth. Sky News tweeted out. Now, you talk about, you've worked at the BBC for a considerable amount of time. You worked on all these stories that we've talked about over the years. We saw Sky News tweet out yesterday, and the tweet was very quickly deleted.
But
a few of us managed to save it before it was.
Well done.
Sky News tweeted out a picture of a police van driving through a group of not knocking them down, but driving through a street where there were protesters. And Sky News tweeted out triumphantly, "Listen to this. The people of Catalonia are finding out what happens when an illegal referendum is held." Holy fucking Jesus, Tony. Excuse the language. How did it ever... I've worked in mainstream media for years. How did that ever come to be? a news organisation mocking the protesters.
Well, hang on, this is Murdoch, right? So the Rupert Murdoch organisation is basically the gangsters. It's
gangsters.
Like having the mafia running the biggest newspapers, biggest circulation newspapers, and one of the major TV channels. I mean, they are effectively a mafia. They were certainly proved to be a mafia when it came to the phone hacking scandal. What they were doing was illegally hacking into phones. For example, one of the phones they hacked into was the father of someone who was killed in the 7/7 London bombings, and taking their personal private information and using it in their newspapers. Basically making conclusions from what they heard on those voicemail messages. They are a kind of mafia. The Rupert Murdoch down in the basement, we were told, there's a kind of file system where they have black books where effectively all major politicians, all rich people, anyone of influence, including potentially you and I, we have a little bit of influence, I suppose, anyway, Richie.
Yeah.
They've got all loads of dirt on them. So at any point they want to smear them in the national press, all they do is they just cut and paste stuff from these files onto the front page of the next day's newspaper.
And
they waste the individual. For example, the similar sort of thing happened with the Foreign Secretary Robin Cook. Once he came out as wanting to control arms sales to Saudi Arabia and other people, he was pilloried in the press for having an affair, etc., etc. So there is very, and also another interesting one to do with the VI paedophile scandal and this farce of a national inquiry, which is now being run by somebody who up in Rotherham, when she did the inquiry up there, didn't do any kind of investigation into any of the authorities, the police or social services. Nobody was questioned really. Well, there were some were questioned, but none were prosecuted as a result of it, even though this abuse scandal had been going on in council-run children's homes and the police had been doing nothing about it for decades, with multiple hundreds of reports to the police of the abuse going on. None of the police, none of the social services. And now this woman is now, I think it's Alexis J is her name, she's now running this VI paedophile inquiry. So what we're seeing is just rampant corruption, effectively.
Tony Gosling is our guest this hour. Tony's been talking about the possible connection between what's happened in Spain over the last few days in Catalonia and this event in Las Vegas. That's really worthwhile, that, considering that. Follow Tony, by the way. I'm tweeting out all the links to Tony. If you don't know already, you can follow him on Twitter, at Tony Gosling. BCFM Politics Show, it's an excellent show. A rare thing these days in commercial radio. Terrifically presented and edited.
Well, we're not
program.
Commercial. Let me just correct you there. We're a charity.
It's
I do
a charity,
it as a
volunteer. Yes.
And we've got basically a community radio license. So, you know, that's the basis of it. You'll find all sorts of other programs on there. A lot of good, really good specialist music. But we concentrate on international politics. And this is one of the things I wanted to do. And you do very well on your show too, Richie, is to do national and international stories, but from a regional, local perspective. Because that doesn't fit this pyramid model that the mainstream media
Absolutely.
Operates under, where every single national and international story is covered from London. Even Cardiff doesn't get a chance to really cover the national and international stories very much unless it directly affects Wales. So what we're doing is we're trying to break that the stranglehold that London has. The London journalists, well, I wouldn't actually blame the journalists. I blame the owners of the media and I blame the editors that they appoint, because journalists can only write what their editors allow them to write. In fact, with the 7/7, we were talking about that a little while ago, but I spoke to one of the journalists on The Guardian who wrote a very good report for The Guardian the day after, on the night of the 7/7 bombings, to be published the day after, and then found that the editors had altered his report, saying that the bombs were in the trains rather than under the trains, which is what he'd written in his report. So it's very easy to get annoyed with journalists, but the journalists don't have the power anymore. They used to with the unionized system with the printers and the journalists, but nowadays, since the Thatcher in the 80s and the Wapping dispute, what happens is the journalists have to support supply their copy often earlier than they used to do in the old print deadlines, you know, with hot metal and all that. And then that is then changed often by editors and certainly by sub-editors, and sometimes even by people who are just doing the layout for the newspaper, you know, the desktop publishing for it before it goes to be printed. So the journalists are now being kept separate from the actual process of printing a newspaper, which shows how I'm afraid how weak the unions have become nowadays in the age of modern technology and the sort of neoliberal idea that these people who own the newspapers can just put in anything they want and they can just alter whatever journalists say.
Post-fact world. And that brings us nicely, segues nicely to Fox News interview today with Brianna, who said that there was a Hispanic man and woman escorted out of the concert because 45 minutes before the shooting, they were lucidly telling people if they didn't get out of there, they were going to die. Now, this is exactly what you were talking about there. The Fox News journalist, to her credit, did ask the appropriate questions of Brianna. What did they look like? What happened? Why were they escorted out? Brianna said they were telling people 45 minutes before the shooting began, if you don't get out of here, you're going to die. I played the audio earlier on. You know all about it, Tony. Again, the journalist, and Tony Gosling is a real journalist, by the way, you are bursting at the seams to follow that up. You're desperate to follow that up. Right, yeah, who else can I talk to? But they're not allowed. Look. Right.
Let me just point something out there, because you know she's getting interrogated, right? She's being okay, names, blah 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 blah. The total opposite is happening in those Nevada police press conferences, right? Is the journalists are not asking questions other than things like, oh, what's the name and blah blah blah. There's no interrogation of the story, and that is why and Richard Cotterill, he's a guy I've had on my program a few times. He's a former Tory member of the European Parliament for the southwest of England. He's the author of an excellent book on Gladio, amongst other things. He's written a book about transport in Britain and a book about Dr. Beeching and the Beeching cuts. But he's made it absolutely clear that investigative journalism is dying. He says it's dead. I say it's dying. And it's actually not dying, is it? It's being killed off. Effectively, you know, anywhere that where there's good interrogative investigative journalism is shut down. Things like, I mean, The Oldie, which published that article about the original article about Jimmy Savile, written by Miles Goslett a few years ago, which broke the Jimmy Savile scandal. It's closed down. Effectively, what happens is the owners sack the editor, Richard Ingrams, who gave permission for that article to go in. He's now sacked. And he was one of the people that founded the paper. So it's the money people behind these things that, I mean, effectively, it's a kind of economic warfare and psychological warfare within the media. Anytime the media tells us the truth, the evil eye of Sauron spots it, spies it, and destroys it. Basically, they just get rid of whoever it was that made that decision to tell us the truth. They are then pensioned off or removed. I think it really is that bad. And so it's a bit of a fight for survival within anywhere within our mainstream media for honest journalists. And it's not easy for them, I can tell you.
No, it isn't. And, you know, you talk about not asking questions at the press conference. We saw the virtue signalling again today. We saw a procession of people in Las Vegas all take a podium in front of an assembly of journalists. Each one of them extolled the virtues of the first responders and the police. And it was a celebration of the police and the police and the police. And you're begging one writer to say, well, guys, you know, you're talking about yourselves there. You're sending yourself flowers, as my Caroline would say, a French woman. They love that expression, sending yourself flowers. You're picking yourselves up there, guys, but you didn't do anything. At least 60 people are dead and hundreds more are injured. So why are you congratulating yourselves? And oh, okay, the ambulances, you know, and the doctors and the paramedics, fair enough. But as a police force, you're not up to much, really. But
The surreal side, if I can just drag you back to talk about what most of the world would have been talking about today, other than the Tory conference, of course, which is this Catalan a referendum, it looks as if we're going to have a unilateral declaration of independence from them, which will be very interesting to see. So they're going to say, well, actually, we've got a massive majority here, people in favour, thanks very much to King Felipe for encouraging it through the police brutality and violence. And so we're going to secede. But the thing is, what has Rajoy been saying? This is amazing. He's a bit like Theresa May, isn't he? He just sort of stands there at the podium and reads out a pre-prepared script. I wonder sometimes whether it's written by some sort of artificial intelligence Google's bot. Because they have nothing to do with it. They're just stood there reading a script, and Rajoy is doing exactly that, just like May has been doing. There's no personality to these people. They have no ability to think on their feet. Unlike, let me say, the Labour conference, people like Angela Rayner, I was really impressed with. She gave her speech without referring to her notes hardly at all, just a few bullet points, and she can speak from the heart, which is a great thing to see. Let's have some more politicians like that, please. But what I was going to say about Catalonia, was that the statements coming from Rajoy are just incredible, aren't they? Did you see this stuff? He's saying the referendum is a threat to democracy.
A threat to democracy, that's right,
now,
Jay.
That's
yeah.
straight out
it's
of
a
Georgia.
Mockery. It's a mockery of democracy, he said. A
Homage
mockery.
To Catalonia. I think it's time for everyone to go and buy a copy of Orwell's Homage to Catalonia and read it, actually. And also, the police today, he said, the police responded serenely. Now, I don't know how you can say that kind of thing when you see the police baton charging voters. It's not, you know, it's beyond a joke.
Hammering
Where are
people.
Our satirists? Where is Spitting Image? I want to see it. And finally, another thing he said was there was no independence referendum took place. Right. OK, so this is a provocation, isn't it? He's just really just prodding the Catalan people and insulting their intelligence and saying, look, I can just do and say whatever I want. And it's looking very Franco like, very fascist like.
It
but
is.
The main point is, who has supported Rajoy? Who has been supporting Felipe, for a start, the king of Spain? He has. And he, by the way, his father, Juan Carlos, was appointed by Franco to take over the country when Franco died. So there's an absolutely direct continuity there. Felipe and Juan Carlos were both Bilderberg attendees. So they're Bilderbergers too. But anyway, he's been criticizing the referendum, saying it was illegal, blah, blah. So he's weighed in on the wrong side. Bye-bye, Felipe. The other people who have is Donald Trump, very much saying that he supports Mariano Rajoy, the government in Spain, and that what the Catalans are doing is provocative. No, hang on. No, the police. That was the provocative side. And also, very importantly, it was also Macron in France, President Macron. He was supporting Rajoy too. These people, if they had any brain cells left, would be steering well clear of supporting these kind of fascist actions by the Spanish government. But finally, today as well, he's been kind of keeping well clear of it. Donald Tusk, the president of the European Commission, the unelected
Absolutely.
President of the European Commission, has been keeping well clear of it all. But today he's weighed in and he said, what did he say? Oh, yes. Well, I think this was an illegal referendum. I think there should be talks, but it was illegal. No, Donald Tusk, you have also made it quite clear to everybody that you support the fascist government of Spain there is right now. And this kind of police state brutality with police weighing into smashing their way into beating up old ladies, old men, women and kids who are queuing up to vote. And we need to just remember who these people are and what they're supporting over in Catalonia.
And as we're talking about it today or tonight even, the Spanish government is increasing the rhetoric, the threats, while the president of Catalonia is trying to calm things down, saying, you know, we're not looking for trauma, we're not looking for trouble here. The Spanish government is threatening to send the police in basically to take over the running of the autonomous area. I lived in Spain for years. I was explaining just to the listeners yesterday morning on a Sunday programme. Yeah, lived there for years. And Catalonia has always had more devolved powers than Andalusia and other areas. But, of course, there was reasons for that because of the, you know, of the political position of Catalans
in
Catalonia.
Yeah, and the Basques will be looking at this very closely.
Absolutely.
Won't they?
Absolutely. It's and you did so well to bring up the Gürtel case. And again, because of my connections in Spain, I know a little bit about that. I've not introduced it to this programme because I've not really kind of had any way into it for this particular programme. But you did really well, Tony, to bring that up and talk about that in light of what's going on in Catalonia and what happened in Vegas. I would advise our listeners to, even as a beginner, just Google Gürtel case and read about it. I mean, it's corruption, it's fraud, it's tax evasion, bribery, murder as well, people allege, on an absolute incredible scale, really.
Okay, the main things I think in it are, number one, the bribery,
massive bribery.
Thousands of
tax
euros
evasion,
going to
evasion.
The senior government people in the People's Party, and the treasurer seems to be the main guy. But the other thing, of course, is Mariano Rajoy's name is all over these documents that are in the court right now. But look, this is really the fact that this Catalonia referendum is happening is correct. It's right. They're doing the right thing because the governments across the West have just failed to deal with the 2008, the biggest heist in history. And capitalism, I keep having to say this, capitalism is dead. It died in 2008. Ever since then, it's been on life support. It's been on heroin, which is called, that's what it's called. It's QE. It's trillions of euros, trillions of dollars being pumped into the economy to try and keep it going when it's dying, dying, dying. And you've still got massive problems with the economy, with employment in Spain. So they're doing the right thing. They're looking at the government and saying, look, you messed it up. You can't manage the economy. Goodbye. So that's actually the best way to deal with these, I think, despotic governments.
But you know what, Tony? Can I just interject there? Because this is hugely important. You and I live in the UK. We live in England. We've covered extensively on this programme with people like Joel Benjamin and Nicholas Wilson, Mr. Ethical.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Yes, brilliant.
Two lovely lads. You know them well. We have a situation in this country where the Conservative Party organised a loan to a failing company called IPGL through HSBC through a guy called Michael Spencer to basically fund the Conservative Party. That should have brought the government and the entire financial system to its knees in this country. That's a massive story. And you know that Benjamin and Nicholas Wilson, they cannot get anybody other than RT or the politics show at BCFM or the Richie Allen show. Outside of that, nobody's covering it. It's
very,
a massive
very, very
scandal.
Very few people. And of course, the other thing in the background to all of this is we've got a build-up of international war going on in the background of the financial crisis. You've got a political crisis, effectively, which means that you've got people hanging on to power by manipulation of the press, by keeping stories out. And what we've seen since April, and by the way, it was midnight on Hitler's birthday that Google introduced this new, what they call the April algorithm. The new Google algorithm actually completely takes out much brilliant investigative journalists from bloggers around the world from their index. So you can search as much as you want on Google.
You won't
find them anymore. A lot of the pages have been downlisted. And Michael Tyler on michaeltyler.co.uk has done a brilliant summation of the 80 suicided and dead bankers, mostly at JP Morgan, at Deutsche Bank, and at UBS in Switzerland over the last 3 years. And some of his pages have been completely taken out of the Google listings since this April algorithm came. So the alternative press, Richie, is being closed down. Many of these basically really good research websites, Michael Tyler on his website, michaeltyler.co.uk, has done a brilliant analysis of the number of hits that, for example, the complete collapse in hits for the World Socialist website. Now, I mean, I don't back 100% what the World Socialist website does, but it does very, very good research. You know, the quotes are absolutely 100% robust. There's no question about this being fake news that they're putting out. But Google have just decided, well, we just don't want people to find this information. We want them to have to only get knowledge from the mainstream press. Now that bothers me. That's a fascistic Goebbels style approach that Google are now taking ever since April and Hitler's birthday this year, when they started to do this new algorithm, which means that we're being funneled back to the mainstream press. You know, that all we get is from there, and anything that's alternative in the outside world, even if we search in quotes on Google for the exact thing that is out there, we won't find it on Google anymore, which is really worrying. And of course, the other thing is on YouTube, massive demonetization of some of the incisive channels. But I think there's been no reporting whatsoever in the mainstream press I've seen anywhere, except RT, I think, is the only people that covered it, of this new Google algorithm and the way that it's completely changing the way things we can find and we can't find on the internet. But I'd really recommend you go and have a look at Michael's site, because he's documented who's been taken out through demonetization, and he's also documented the number of bankers that have been killed, which has been no investigation into, suicide.
None whatsoever. None.
And then also looked, I mean, he's a bit of an exceptional guy, I think. You know, he's done a fantastic job there. But
we must get him on, Tony. We must get him on this program.
The reason I keep giving his internet website address out is because quite often you go to Google and you put in his website and you can't find it.
You can't find it. My God.
So this is worrying, isn't it? You know what I mean? That we're going down a road, and I think this is an indication that we could be heading for war. I hate to say it, but this is another indication that the psychological warfare, basically Google are cashing in their goodwill chips. So a lot of people have gone, Gmail, oh, Google's kind of friendly and cuddly and it finds what I want. You know, it's all nice and good. And oh dear. Now what's happening is now everyone's trusting Google. Everyone's friendly with Google. They're using Google, although Google is actually using them, of course, to target advertising, which is its main purpose, they're now starting to take away the truth that we really need to know from their index. So it's very important that people use other search engines, not necessarily Google, as much as possible. Sometimes, you know, if you're looking for something which is not the sort of thing that might be censored, you may well find it on Google. But, you know, I think we really need to just destroy their brand, because they cannot do this kind of fascistic action. And also, by the way, Michael was pointing out, it was a few years ago that Google quietly dropped this "Don't be evil" subtitle, you know. So they are now being evil. They are the evil part of the evil empire.
Do you know, our colleague, you don't know her maybe, Jeanne Crowley, Irish journalist and actress, says they are being closed. Tony is right. Remember what Schmidt, is it, of Google said? Google says too many answers coming up when you Google. There should be just one, as in the one they want you to have. And I'm going to say something that's going to depress you, my friend. It's not meant to depress you. It's going to break your heart. While they're making it difficult for people to see those websites that you mentioned there and others, do you know what they're doing as well? And this is so not mendacious. This is so malevolent, Tony. They are promoting the truthers, the garbage bastards who talk about it's all, everything is a hoax, there were no bodies, there was none of this, these guys, they're promoting them, right? They're pushing these guys.
They're also pushing things like, I mean, I put Bilderberg in, right? There's loads of articles from The Guardian, which is great. It's mostly Charlie Skelton, who's pretty damn good, and he manages to really wind them up, taking the mickey of Henry Kissinger in a way like Rory Bremner or something, you know, beautifully. Yeah. But having said that, it's, you know, mostly mainstream press articles. And whereas I used to be number one, you know, with my Bilderberg.org, now I'm on page two. And funnily enough, actually, I tried it on someone else's computer and it wasn't. It was like two or three from the bottom of the first page. So I think what's happening is they're just playing with our minds. You know, some people will get one result on Google because they're logged in on their account and Google knows who they are. And they will say, well, these people, it doesn't matter if they find the truth. But there are certain people who, like journalists, for example, who I think are being targeted with being fed fake nonsense from Google, and the algorithms being used to demonetize people, it's almost certainly a kind of artificial intelligence. That's what the people that have been demonetized are saying, that they're using some kind of AI bot. So you haven't even got a human being looking at it. You can even have the situation where if you've just got some thumbnail that's a bit different, then they will just demonetize you because they recognize, it's you, so we're going to just switch you off. So this is really Google, you know, becoming obvious for anyone that cares to look, that they're just part of the war machine.
Tony Gosling is our guest. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left on this, the politics show on BCFM every Friday. It's a terrific show. It really is. Links will be tweeted out. It is, Tony. There's no sycophancy here, mate. When I say that, I mean it. I don't say it about many people. There's about half a dozen shows.
We do have some fun, Richie, that's for sure.
You have some fun, mate, but you entertain, and at the same time, you put very, very important information in front of people. You give people a chance, and you're not domineering or dogmatic in the way you do it.
One of the things we were asking last week was, who audits the auditors?
Yeah,
because you've got the big four auditors, KPMG, Deloitte, PricewaterhouseCoopers. Oh, who's the last one? Oh, gosh. Anyway, can't remember. There's four. But they're obviously crooks. You've got KPMG, probably the worst of the lot, who are the people that signed off the accounts of HBOS just last week, were told, it's no problem. They put £48 billion, let me just say that once more, £48 billion of assets in the wrong column in the accounts of HBOS. So when they came to be sold, it looked like they were a viable business, when actually they were a complete and utter dead duck black hole. So they signed off those accounts. Their name is at the bottom of those accounts, 2007 and 2008. And HBOS was made to look great, but it wasn't. So what's the punishment for them? We heard just last week, and remember, this is nearly a decade after the event, so this is the great British wheels of justice moving very, very slowly, that nothing will happen to them. And the excuse by the Financial Reporting Council was very simple. It was, well, other big auditors make similar mistakes. And guess what? The people who are on the panel at the Financial Reporting Council, many of them were, and the This Is Money, the Daily Mail subsidiary thing, did a brilliant article on this, pointing out that most of the people on this committee were ex-KPMG. So they've actually got their own people on the regulators saying, oh, there's nothing to see here. No problem at all. Now, that's £48 billion, Richie. Now, £48 billion to you or I can make or break. And what it did is it actually was one of the major factors that caused the 2008 financial crisis. KPMG did it. And yet they're all still trading. The P in KPMG, by the way, is a guy called Graham Peet. Graham Peet is now being booted off the board of KPMG, even though he's probably still a major shareholder, and he's now on Deloitte's board. But he's also private secretary to Prince Charles. He's also a former, keeper of the Privy Purse for the Duke of Edinburgh and the Queen. And he's also a senior Freemason, according to The Independent, just a couple of years ago, said, oh, isn't it interesting that this guy who's in such an important position is also a Freemason? So you've got an absolute corrupt web going on. But my question is, who is auditing these people? And if you look it up, you'll find that it's actually Deloitte's auditing KPMG, KPMG auditing Deloitte's, PricewaterhouseCoopers auditing Ernst & Young, and Ernst & Young auditing PricewaterhouseCoopers. So it's pretty obvious what's going on. We've got a criminal cartel at the heart of the city.
At the heart of the city, operating with no scrutiny whatsoever, outside of your good self and one or two others.
And I think what they should do is they should break these companies up, take all their assets and share them out to the poor of the country.
Absolutely,
the people that
right.
need some money.
Give
and by the way,
country.
The poor people spend their money. They don't squirrel it away. Yeah, so we'll get the economy going again. So it seems a bit of a no-brainer. And I thought that the John McDonnell speech about housing particularly and Jeremy Corbyn too talking about housing last week at the Labour conference was quite heartening. To see some sensible stuff going on. Let's use land to house people. Let's control rents and start to think about the poor in society a little bit more. And then maybe we can start to live with ourselves a bit easier in the future.
Tony, you and I will talk about this again in the future, this idea of stimulating the economy by building houses, because I have a lot of interest in it. But I think, and I've articulated this several times before, I think Corbyn and McDonald don't go far enough. But then again, I would think that. But we'll talk about that in the future. Yeah, they don't go far enough. I'll be listening to you with absolute all ears on Friday, because we will have had Chief Constable Mike Veal's report. You and I kind of have an idea, as do our listeners, what might be in it. But I'll be listening keenly to hear what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I mean,
Friday.
I can tell you now, I mean, I worked in Salisbury for the BBC for a while, chatted to other journalists at the Salisbury Journal, where Ted Heath was living, and we were investigating, this is back in, gosh, what year would it be, 1993, child abuse, child sexual abuse cases there, which were going on, again, at state-run children's homes. Although they were state-run, state-funded, they were actually owned by the deputy leader of the Conservative group on Salisbury District Council. We started looking into this, discussing it with other journalists in the town, and oh dear, that was the point at which suddenly the BBC said goodbye. They didn't really want to keep my contract going.
They didn't want to know anymore.
But you know me. I that's not going to stop me. I think you might even say, as some of the other journalists said, "Don't worry, Tony, you're a survivor."
Well, too right, Tony, and what you do now is far greater than you could have ever done. I mean, you look back at that period. David named Heath when he was alive. The chapter in David's book was read to Heath. They said to Heath, "If you think, Ike is wrong, you better sue him." And Heath didn't do anything. He wouldn't do anything. It's scandal. I can't wait to.
Interesting, isn't it? Of course, I mean, he was the guy that cancelled all the British technology programs.
That's right.
We had our own rocket to put satellites into space, all that sort of thing, all cancelled by Heath. And he was the guy also that signed us into the common market.
That's right.
Actually, it was Harold Wilson a couple of years after, the Labour Prime Minister, who said, hang on a minute, we just basically completely signed away
much of
our sovereignty here, so let's have a vote about it, which was a very decent thing to do. Wilson then, of course, was bounced out by MI5. Many people know the Wilson plot. It was the secret state that got rid of Harold Wilson. Simple as that.
Follow Tony on Twitter. It's at Tony Gosling. Listen to his politics show, The Politics Show, every week on BCFM. And come back real soon, Tone. Don't leave it so long, mate. Great to have you on.
The website, easiest way to find the show is thisweek.org.uk. But I also run Bilderberg.org, and we have a pretty reasonable discussion going on all these sort of terror events, etc., at the 9/11 Forum, which is 9/11forum.org.uk.
Brilliant, Tony. Thanks for your time again today, mate. Look after yourself.
Thanks, Richie. Lovely to chat.
You too. Speak soon. The brilliant Tony Gosling, live on the line from Bristol. Thanks to him again. Terrific guy, at Tony Gosling. I will tweet out the Politics Show website and the Bilderberg website. I will tweet those out immediately. Get on them, bookmark them. Back in a minute to wrap up.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
Welcome back. A big shout out to Phil Restino in Florida. Great guy, Phil, and a good friend of the programmes. Very good journalist, Phil. Veterans today. Richie, glad you got to see Neil Diamond. Phil says, everything you're saying today regarding Vegas, left-right being played for suckers by the elite, who have no need to deny any of them having guns, and the police state security being accepted as needed to keep us safe by the sheeple, etc., is spot on with how I see things myself. And then Phil recommends I close the programme with a certain Neil Diamond song. I'm going to do that, Phil. Seeing as it's you, I had something else lined up, but as it's my mate, Phil, I will do that. He's absolutely right, Phil. I really do mean that, my dearest listener. I do mean that. You know, I understand why people get worried in the United States. Oh, they're coming for our guns. I don't knock that. I don't mock them. I don't think they're idiots. I just think they're misguided. The elite couldn't give a damn about guns or you having guns. They really couldn't. I really believe that. I believe it to my core. Their own weaponry and the sophisticated hardware and software. I bet you guns are the last thing, really, they think about. Speaking today about voice-to-skull technology, I was even suggesting to my friend today, voice-to-skull is... it's being used on people. It is, right? We know this, right? But it's ancient history. It's old technology. God knows what they have that they can use. So, there will be a huge argument which will rage now on Fox, CNN, C-SPAN, NBC over the next few days about gun rights and gun control. And, of course, it's a great distraction to the real possibility that what Tony Gosling suggested, the idea that poor old Stephen Paddock, God love him, might have just been a patsy. Mightn't even have pulled the trigger himself. None of this will be discussed, nor will the fact that people had foreknowledge recommending to people to get the hell out of Dodge, get out of the concert, because if you don't, you're going to die. None of this, it's all just skimmed over. The relationship between what happened last night and the situation in Catalonia, brilliantly discussed there by Tony, none of this. It'll all be us against them, the NRA and the gun lovers, against people who are scared shitless of guns. In my opinion. Going to leave you. And love you for Monday. Back as usual tomorrow, Tuesday at 7 p.m. British summertime. Not for long, only a couple of weeks before the clocks change. Something which always catches me out, because the United States change a week before us and I always get caught out. Not this time, though. For the first time in my career, I'm not going to be caught out. So I'll be back with you tomorrow at 7. Big thanks to Tony Gosling again. Check him out. I've tweeted out the website. politicsshowthisweek.org.uk. I've probably said that wrong, but I've tweeted it out anyway. Back with you tomorrow at 7 UK time. All of the breaking news and really good analysis can be...